you're supposed to have on a night like this, right? All right. I'm, of course, aware that it's already been a somewhat of a lengthy service. I was guessing I'd get up here about 7:50, and so I only have an hour-long message, and I have fewer points than Pastor Olson, so that's good. All right, Psalm 127, we're going to look at the entire chapter this evening. You know, our church is really a church with children, and I know there's every age group, and I'm so thankful for that, but a healthy sign of a church is lots of young people, lots of children, and so I'm always excited about seeing the kids up here. I shouldn't call them kids. My mom always tells me kids are goats, but I am excited about seeing the children up here and doing all the things that they do, and I hope that we can keep on working them and getting them to practice, right? Lots of work that goes into making something like this happen. So Psalm 127, let's read the entire chapter. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this time that we've had tonight already, and what a blessing it's been. Thank you for these kindergartners who are graduating here in a little bit, and I pray that you would just bless in their lives, help them to grow up to serve you. Thank you for your word now, and help us to receive a challenge from it about our children, and even some here who might not have children but have grandchildren, and others who have not had children yet. Lord, I pray that you would help us to realize the value of reaching the next generation. So I pray that you guide my thoughts tonight as I preach. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to really be looking over in 1 Samuel this evening. 1 Samuel chapter 1, if you'd like to turn there. Children are very important in the kingdom of God. As I thought about Matthew chapter 18, where Jesus set a child in the midst of the disciples and reminded them that the kingdom of heaven is made up not just of people who humble themselves like a little child, but of little children, and that we are to receive little children and not offend little children or turn them away. Of course, the children are the future of this church in many ways. It's the establishment of God's program on earth is the family unit, and of course that builds into the church and the government and so on. So it's very important that children be nourished and nurtured in the ways of the Lord. There are many lessons to be learned from Samuel, who I want to look at, spend the rest of the evening looking at. Hannah took, I believe, the idea, the concept of Psalm 127, and she aimed her arrow, her children, her child specifically, Samuel, she aimed him in the right direction. We cannot tell, you can't force a child to be saved. You can't force a child. Of course, every child does have a free will. But we can aim them the right direction, and that's what training up a child is about, in the way they should go, training them in the way that they should go. Ephesians chapter 6 says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Judges chapter 13, there's a very wise man here, Manoah, the father of Samson, who entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. That's wise, a wise thing to do, to ask the Lord, what do we do with these children? And the Lord is the only one that can really guide us in the training of our children. So there's many, many resources out there about how to raise children. I remember when I was a young person hearing about a real wise psychologist who's named Dr. Spock. And I heard a phrase that he said, if a child wants to is full of frustration and he wants to get rid of that frustration by throwing a rock through a window, let him throw that rock through the window. But, you know, I figure there's other ways of getting that frustration out. And my dad had that one figured out. But in this passage in Hannah, with the story of Hannah, she aimed her arrows at, with Samuel, her children, aimed them the right direction. And I want to point out some things, I think, from this lesson, this story tonight, and I will be quick, I promise, that we should also integrate into the lives of our children in aiming them the right direction. And so I know that Psalm 127 is talking about our children and our arrows that we have, and it's in the hand of the mighty. But I want you to think about the arrows that are in the hands of the Almighty, and that we should aim our arrows for the Almighty. He's worthy of our children. He's worthy of our best. And of course, just like you, if you have a family, if you have children, a wife and a family, your family is the best that God has given you. And if you can aim the best, if you can give God your best, what a blessing that is. So let me give you some thoughts here from 1 Samuel. First of all, I see that Hannah aimed her arrows, her children, Samuel specifically, by praying over him. She involved prayer in her raising of the Lord. Literally, the name Samuel means asked of the Lord. Samuel was born as a result of fervent prayer. His mother prayed and prayed for him. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse number 10, the Bible says there that she prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. I know that having children and rearing children, it takes some serious times of prayer and serious thought and maybe even weeping and really intense, fervent prayer. Verse number 20 of the same chapter, it says again, wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah conceived, she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him. Verse 27, she sang a song and she said, for this child I prayed and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. I saw the kids up here making up their own songs. Hannah did that as well. She wrote her own poetry and sang this, a song of prayer, and she involved prayer. We can make sure that we're praying for our children. I need God to do something for my family. All the wiles of the devil that the devil wants to aim at our children. And there's no way to stop all of that apart from God. We need God to protect our kids, and that'll be done through prayer. But not only did she involve prayer, she also had a promise. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 11, she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. I'll give my children, my son, back to you. He's yours. I noticed that three times in this verse, she calls herself a handmaid. She knew that she was just entrusted with a responsibility if God gave her a son. And that responsibility, I'm giving back to the Lord. It's his to take. And so she makes this vow to the Lord. And of course, at some point, she brings that young child back to the Lord. Parents, we need to give our children to the Lord and vow a vow, a solemn vow that our children don't belong to us. They belong to the Lord. And as all of you who have children who are already teenagers and are maybe even grown out of the house, time goes quickly. Seems like just not that long ago, my oldest was born, and now he's 13 and a half, and in the youth group already his second year. My second one's joining the youth group this summer, and I'm already feeling old before it ever got started, right? But man, they grow up fast. And as they grow up fast, are they committed to the Lord? You know, I remember very well when our first one was born, coming home from the hospital. And man, just that overwhelming responsibility, right? It hits you right in the middle of the face. Well, a lot of crying and weeping in the night from the baby as well. But man, it just hits you. This is my responsibility. I remember very specifically going to God and saying, Lord, I don't know what to do. I need your help. And she vowed a vow and promised her son to the Lord. But not only that, she then wanted to see progress in her son. Look at chapter 2, verse 21. We see Samuel growing. The Lord visited Hannah. She conceived and bare sons and daughters. The child Samuel grew before the Lord. He grew in the presence of the Lord. The word there, the idea, the phrase before the Lord, it means that he was in the presence of the Lord. He was near the Lord. There's an interesting phrase used several times with Elijah and Elisha, twice each actually. The Bible says, Elijah said to King Ahab, as the Lord liveth, before whom I stand. And the idea is there that you're standing before the Lord. And we should see our children this way. They're standing before God. And he can call them. He can send them. He can put them to work. These are his children, and they're standing before the Lord. If you stand before a king, it doesn't just mean that you're standing there idle. It means you're standing there at his call when he sends them or has them come or go. They're there for the king. And the Bible says he grew before the Lord. He was growing. He was making progress. Of course, Jesus, the Bible says that about him as well. Jesus grew in stature and in favor with God, man. I don't know any parent who wants their children to stay young. As much as I like the young stage, when my kids were little, and you know, you could, Edmund was reminding me today that I used to throw him up to touch the ceiling and catch him, and now he jumps up and touches the ceiling without. He said, I don't think I've seen you do that in a while. I said, no, I got a back to take care of, you know. But they grow. We don't want our children to stay young as much as we might enjoy that. Our children are expected to grow. And that's even spiritually. I would expect, of course, our children to grow. Not only progress that she wanted to see in her son, she also wanted to see productivity. The Bible says several times. Look at chapter 2, verse 11. There's just a little phrase. And the child did minister. Now look at chapter 2 and verse number 18. But Samuel ministered before the Lord. And then again in chapter 3, verse 1, and the child ministered unto the Lord. Oh boy, here's a young man ministering before the Lord, serving the Lord, productivity. 2 Kings chapter 5 mentions a little maid in the house of Naaman. And what does it say about her? She waited on Naaman's wife. She was working, and that's what young people should do. Productivity, productive. We should expect and want our children to be productive. Children can and should minister. The Lord can use children who are ready and willing and available. Children, this summer, there's opportunities, and some of the college students leave, and teenagers, there's opportunities for you to jump in, and you ought to take that responsibility serious. And of course, all throughout the year, there's opportunities for that. Productivity. Number 5, I'm moving fast. Hannah was also looking for a pleasant nature in her son, and of course, I shouldn't say Hannah was looking for that. Eli was getting that, really, in chapter number 3, if you would turn there. Chapter 3 in verse number 7. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. He had already called him twice. And this third time, again, the Lord called, and he arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. So, this is the third time where Samuel gets up out of bed and pleasantly responds to his parent, if you will. Eli says, Eli, you called me. What do you need? I appreciate when young people can respond with a pleasant response rather than an irritated response. There's something wrong when a child has an irritable attitude. If our children are sour, there's a heart problem there. There's a heart problem that's worked its way out, and they're angry or they're bitter. And Samuel, you don't find that in him at all. Samuel just jumps out of bed the third time and runs to Eli and says, yes, you called. What do you need? No, I didn't call you. A pleasant nature. Young people who are frivolous and funny and always looking for fun. You look up those kind of young people in the Bible, in the Proverbs chapter 1, it talks about those. It calls them simple. I personally have a vested interest in this story. The 40 children who came to Elisha and mocked him for being bald. And they laughed at him. Now, I know there was more to that story than just the fact that he was didn't have hair and they were making fun of that. These are idol-worshipping children, children of idol worshipers. But I'm sure there was probably many excuses that those parents had. Man, that was an overreaction by Elisha. Why did it have to be so severe? They were just playing. They were just joking. Man, there's a general attitude of, I'm saying in our society, everything's fun and funny, and everything, if it's not funny, then we're not going to do it. Parents, your job, our job, is to not just oversee our children to remain children, but our job is to grow them. And that takes discipline, it takes structure, and it takes a lot of hard work. You know, another area I thought of here, children who have everything they want are usually unhappy children. Children who have everything they could possibly desire become very selfish. And so I think it's good for us. I know maybe I'm personally biased in this area, but I grew up with very little. I was one of 10 kids, of course, and so I never had new clothes. It was always hand-me-downs, you know, this type of thing. But when your children just have anything they want, they have all the latest brands, and they've got everything they could possibly want, they become selfish, or they can become selfish. You know what we need is to focus our children on what God wants for them. You never see any indication here of Samuel living a life of ease. He's ministering, he's working. And the Bible says that the word of the Lord came to him, and he revealed it to Eli, and he revealed it to the people. And so during this entire time, Samuel, his focus, his aim is towards the Lord. As parents, we need to be focused on what God says our children need, what God says our children should be. Our children should know that we as parents mean business, and that it's not just a fun, funny time all the time. You can have a perfectly happy home and have a structured, disciplined home. Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24, just the verses preceding this tell us about children obeying their parents in the Lord. And then it says, and whatsoever ye do, so the context is the whole family unit, and servants, everybody in this family situation, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Young people, our obedience, your obedience to your parents and to authority should be done from the heart. And that's what Samuel did to Eli. He ran to him, and with a good attitude, he responded and obeyed. One more area I want to point out is that Samuel had the presence of God. Samuel grew and the Lord was with him. I already mentioned that phrase, but Genesis chapter 39, the Lord was with Joseph. And many times it says that he was a prosperous man. Why? Because the Lord was with him. And our children need to be focused on the Lord. And there's all these distractions and all the bright lights of technology out there. All of these things. But we have to focus our children on the Lord. Parents, are you having family devotions and times where they're pointed to Christ? Do you talk of the Lord when thou liest down and when thou risest up and when thou goest out and when thou comest in? Are you speaking of the Lord? Again, preaching to myself. Are they in the presence of God? Is your home a godly home, a God-fearing home? Is our home, are our homes a place where the presence of the Lord is? So Samuel grew up there in the tabernacle in the presence of the Lord. And sure enough, Samuel became a man of God. And I believe that's where Hannah wanted to point Samuel. And if you look at the scriptures, Samuel begins, we talked about this in my Bible class, Samuel begins the office of the prophet. And many prophets come after him. Samuel is the first in this office of the prophet, where God spoke to him and then he revealed it to the people. And that's where Hannah wanted him. Hannah wanted him in the hands of the Lord, at the tabernacle, with the presence of God. And she directed her arrow that direction. Now, I don't in any way think that children should be at the church all the time, unsupervised. Of course not. Family night, when me and my wife want to do things, we send the kids down to the church. Yes! No, that's not the idea. But we should have and we should desire for our children to love being around God's people more than the world. We should love for our children to be at church and to feel more comfortable at church than they do at a baseball game. We should love for our children to enjoy the godly friends of this group more than others around in town. There's no question about that. We should enjoy what we have here around God's word. And just the fact that you're here doesn't mean you're in the presence of God, but are you in the presence of God? Is your family in the presence of God? And the goal, of course, is we're not going to produce a prophet like Samuel was, but we can produce young people who grow up to serve the Lord. Look at chapter 3 and verse number 20. Chapter 3 and verse number 20, and I'm done. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. Man, they could tell, man, that young man is a prophet. He cares about the things of the Lord. He's not concerned with what everybody else is doing. He's concerned about what the Lord tells him to say and to do. And we see that happening in the life of Samuel over and over again. He just stood for what was right, faithful, steady, for many, many, many years. He was a man of God. We've got these kindergartners about ready to graduate. And hopefully in 12 years, they'll be walking across this platform again as hopefully mature, godly, young people. That's the goal. That's where we want to aim our arrows. Put your arrows not just in the hand of a mighty man yourself, us. Put your hands, or sorry, your arrows in the hand of the Almighty and aim your children that direction. May God help us to do that. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Lord, there's a special, special gift that you've given to all of us parents and grandparents. And Lord, it's our children. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to have a vision for where our children should end up. And Lord, I pray that we would give our children to you as Hannah did. I pray that we'd aim them the right direction and then faithfully work that in that way to help our children, to train up our children and to nurture them. So I pray that you guide us and give us wisdom. Lord, be with our young people. And Lord, may they stay true to where they've been aimed. Lord, there's many in here that have been aimed the right direction. God, I pray that they'd be faithful to you. I pray that you'll give them strength not to get sidetracked and distracted. And we just thank you for all that you've done for us. Please bless the rest of our evening together here tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.